Everyone, I'd like to welcome you to tonight's April 24th, 2017 regular Old Fellow City Council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation asking for the blessing upon this city and wisdom for tonight's proceedings. Now, please join me in the Pledge Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May you be seated. Item 1.4 is roll call on our agenda, and I see that all council members are present. Item 1.5 is citizen input, and this is the segment of the council meeting that citizens have an opportunity to address the city council. Anyone here tonight who would like to address the city council, please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. Okay, hearing none, we'll move to the approval of the agenda. I would like to announce that the, on the agenda, that the 3.4 on the consent agenda set public hearing on the development agreement for Sage Stone 8 is set for May 8th. We were going to hear that tonight, but we apparently aren't ready, so we will continue that to the 8th of May. So with that, I would entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is the consent agenda. So I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda for tonight.
Make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And so then, our next item on our agenda is under current business. That is item 4.1, purchase irrigation water rights for Angel Garza property. And Wade, you have a staff report.
Mayor Council, this, you guys, oh, sorry.
Angel has, I believe he wants to recuse himself from the vote.
From the vote.
But not from the discussion.
I asked that he stay here for discussion.
Okay, so.
Anyway, as you guys were, Councilman Garza has purchased some property north of Olympia Road, Olympia Street, rather, and that property comes with irrigation water. And so, as you all know, we're trying to develop an irrigation utility. Kelly is working that right now with Kurt and myself. We haven't got that developed yet. If we don't get these rights from Councilman Garza, they will be gone. I just found out that we have till the end of the week, basically, end of the month, to do this. So I thought we were longer than that. But the bottom line is it costs us approximately $6,000 a year for those rights to do that. And there's about 58-something. He's got the two bills right there.
58 on one and then 29.66 on the other, right. Just under $6,000.
Which we will pay to the irrigation district per year for those, and that will become part of that irrigation, just our own irrigation utility, rather, and we passed on to consumers as we develop those properties out there, and as Angel builds the houses out there, then we'll put them, just like we're going to do with the property south that Pete Olson is developing. So we'll gather those irrigation rights for us to be used for future development. So tonight I ask council for, I guess, approval to do that with the irrigation district. In other words, take over those rights from Councilman Garza and then pay the irrigation district the bills that are due. Yes.
Okay. Just to clarify, these are not water rights. They're assessments that are issued by the district office. So the East Columbia Irrigation District puts out an assessment on every water user.
Right.
So basically, we're going to pay the assessment charge for the turnout, for the maintenance of the turnout for that property. And when the water then comes and starts being used, you will pay a fee.
If you use it.
Yeah, otherwise you just use the, you just pay the assessment.
Exactly. So the assessment is to keep it open. You must keep it open.
Well, no, I understand that.
Or you lose the rights.
I understand that.
Yeah.
You pay the assessment for that right to have that water. But it's not necessarily considered a water right. It's just an assessment.
No, yeah, I probably misspoke of the water rights per se. No, it's not right.
Okay, and then our goal would be, once we, the city, would own it, and then once it starts being used, we would manage it and charge for the use?
Correct, correct. Okay. Just like, I think, Council McCourty and myself both are in little mini irrigation district things that we have. We pay $100 a year for the water, $100 a year for the maintenance, and then we use the water. Yeah. So the same concept, but that's what we're working on now for these new developments.
That's great. I think it's great.
You're going to make the
motion? So I make a motion. I move to approve the purchase of the water assessments from the East Columbia Basin Irrigation District for the Angel Garza property.
I'll second that.
I have a question before we go to vote. Okay. How long is the city going to be paying the $6,000 before we see any of that money back?
It may be a while until we get this, until Angel starts developing his units out there. And I can't give you a good answer on that, Corey, I'm sorry. But it'll be a while. I don't know if it'll be 2 years, 5 years, you know.
But... So if we don't take it over and he just decides to stop paying the $6,000, the rights are gone on that property.
Yeah. That's what happened in other developments around town. Yeah, as things are developed.
Once they're let go, it's tough. I mean, you will not get them back. Somebody else is going to be taking that, that portion of water. Because everybody's got the water.
Yep. There's,
so we do not want to let them go.
There's a whole bunch of people waiting for water to be released
so,
from the...
In one sense, I guess we're gambling that Andrew's going to develop, and like he's developed Palos Verdes, you know, and that's going to take place. If it doesn't, then that's a $6,000 gamble each year that we make to do that. So if we don't want to gamble, then we don't do it, but it's a small price to pay, I think, for the water rights, or whatnot, water rights.
One question, though. To satisfy your question, Angel, if that property is not going to be developed, it's still going to be utilized, correct?
Yeah, good question.
Okay, so it's still going to be farmed as it is being farmed today?
Is it not going to be farmed? Not my half. Or I don't know what the school is going to do as far as their farm. I do know a little bit, but I'm not going to get into what they said. But my half is not going to be farmed, no.
Okay, so you're not going to do, you're just going to sit there on that property and not let anything happen?
The way you do the segregation is, it's kind of weird how it's formed. So by first segregation, you can't really farm that half. Like, you have to do some weird things with the circle that's going around. It's just impossible. He ended up farming a quarter of that, 20 acres of that, and by the time he takes the circle, you know, separates the power, you know, he's not making any money. He's just, you know, going out the other way.
Okay.
So it's pretty tough to make it work. Our first phase, you know, if things go good, should be rolling sometime this year, maybe. And we are going to put the irrigation water line through there. From there on out, it's going to be up to the city when they want to bring that water into development.
Okay. Okay. Now, has the school purchased their property?
Yeah.
They have? Now, is the school going to purchase their irrigation water assessments from the East
Columbia? That'll be a question for me to ask the school. So I'll make a note for myself to ask them and see.
Okay, we have a motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let the record show that Angel Garza abstained from the vote. Thank you, Angel. Angel, if you'd like to rejoin us.
I don't think his is, but I think the school might. They tried to pause.
Item 4.2 is about an express personnel contract. Wade?
Yeah, as you all may should be aware of, our admin assistant, Sean Mines, admin assistant, is with child, planning to deliver sometime in the first part of June, and we have to put someone in place to temporarily fill in for. So instead of just sort of going out and scouting around for somebody, I thought the best thing to do is to hire professional help to do that. And so I've been in contact with Express Employment out of Moses Lake, and they have lots of experience doing this. And they presented a possible contract. They'll charge $29.43 an hour. That includes all our benefits, includes and plus a little bit for their service as well. So it's close to what we're paying Jennifer now with benefits. It's very close, within a few cents either way. And so they'll bring somebody on. Hopefully, if we get this contract approved, there's one glitch we got to check into first, but then we'll bring them on about the middle of May, with a couple of week overlap with Jennifer to make sure that they know how to do things the way we're doing them. Plus, if Jennifer happens to deliver early, we'll have them aboard at that point. So the one glitch in the contract that Kelly and I were talking about is he looked at it last week. And I have not heard back from our insurance company. It's a question of insurance. You want to explain that, Kelly?
Sure. One thing that is in this contract, and I think before we get into it, Express is a real large company, and getting them to change a provision of their form agreement that's been approved by their corporate office is going to be difficult, and just as a practical matter, probably wouldn't happen. So there's a number of things that I drew Wade's attention to, one of which is the provisions regarding insurance. And I think the best example of that is at paragraph 9 of the contract. And it's stating that the city would agree to indemnify and hold Express harmless for any claims or damages that may be caused by the negligence of the city or the city's misconduct, and agree on behalf of the city's insurance company to waive all rights of recovery, called subrogation rights, against Express. Typically, that's something that we don't do, and particularly here in this kind of thing, if the hired employee were to do some malfeasance that would harm a third party, they'd have a claim back against the city because this person was acting as our agent. If there was any claim that the city itself was negligent, then this would create issues, and if there was a claim of our insurer would step in and defend us. However, if they believe that there was a claim against Express because of that employee's conduct, this provision of the agreement would effectively prevent the city's insurance company from pursuing that claim. So we're compromising a right of our insurance company, which we need to, we should seek WCA's approval or get their approval before we agree to this contract, because many insurance provisions have a clause in them, the effect of which is if you waive their subrogation rights without their advance consent or notice to them or their advance consent, then for that loss, they would not be obligated to provide coverage. So it has the potential of leaving the city without insurance coverage if this employee were to do something to get the city in trouble.
So I have an inquiry into WCA. I asked them Friday, I've not heard back from them. So in this case, what I would ask the council to do is approve this pending approval or litigation of Article 9 of this contract. So if WCA says no, then we don't go forward with the contract until we do something with Express Employment. If they say, yeah, fine, we're covered, this is how, and we go ahead and sign it and move forward. But we don't move forward unless item 9 gets answered to our satisfaction.
So when you go to employment service like this, Express Employment Service, you just sign their contract? They don't sign anything that we present as a contract?
Yeah, that's typically the way it is. They're presenting it to us. both contracts are signed by both parties, but it's their contract. You know, we'd be able to hold them to it. Of course, these terms are really, you know, restrictions or obligations on us. The employee that's provided, you know, it's a temp agency, and so that employee is actually not an employee of the city. It's an employee of Express, and they're just providing that employee to us. So I'm not concerned about the fact there's only a signature line for us, as so much as I am just that the city is aware.
Yeah, the next page is a signature line for.
Oh, is there? The next line is. Okay. Okay, so they do sign it. That's good. So that's not a concern. My primary concern, though, is that the city is aware of the effect of paragraph, potential effect of paragraph 9 if we don't have advance consent by our insurance companies before we sign.
So I'll work on that. If I don't get it, then we'll go back to Express and say, sorry, we can't do this until you figure this out or do something different.
Yeah, I don't think the city wants to waive its right to subrogation on an employee that isn't even our employee.
Right.
So, then,
so that we
given that, yeah, given that change, I think we do want to approve this subject to.
Okay, so in the form of the motion, will be moved to approve the contract with Express Employment, provided that our insurance carrier stipulates it's okay.
Yeah, that's simplest term, but I guess, Kelly, that would be the.
No, that works. Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
Approves the terms of the contract.
Okay. I second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Wade. Thank you for staying out in front of this. There's a little self-preservation in that with the mayor and the administrator, so we appreciate that.
You guys can make do. Really, I mean.
Item 4.3 is the Kiwanis Park Tennis Court Overlay, and Amy is here tonight. Amy, and also I want to thank Amy for the great opening day of Little League. Always a big day in Othello, and from what everybody I talked to, everybody I've heard, it was a tremendous event.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun.
We heard some people talking, and they really liked it. So.
Oh, good. Excellent. Well, usually when they're being overheard, they don't know somebody's listening, so they'll be the most honest, right? Fantastic. I agree. I feel like opening day went really well, so thank you for the compliment. Tonight, I am here to bring forward the awarding bid for the tennis courts at Kiwanis Park. We were originally approached by the school district needing to use the Kiwanis Park tennis courts for their JV tennis team. They are currently using the Lions Park tennis courts, using the interlocal agreement between the school district and the city for their varsity team, and it doesn't really allow them the space to have both JV and varsity play and practice to the amount that they need. The Kiwanis Park tennis courts were not in good repair, and as a result of that request, Public Works did some research into what the overall cost would be and was able to come to an agreement with the school district to compensate half of the cost for the work to be completed, as it's benefiting both of us. So we went out to bid for the work. There's two separate pieces. There's an asphalt that has to be overlaid, and then there's a surfacing that goes on top of the asphalt. The companies that we contacted for the asphalt work were neither interested in subbing out the surfacing work, but both recommended another company that they had had success with working in the past, and so those are the companies that we used for going out as a separate bid for the surface on top. Granite Construction came in with their surfacing company at $36,729, and Central Washington Asphalt alongside their suggestion for the surfacing company came in at $52,233. Public Works has prepared the site as much as possible as far as removing chain link fencing, cleaning up the cracks, dust, dirt, and all that kind of work that we can do ahead of time for the work to be completed. And it is ready for asphalt to come in when they are able to. The bid that we would recommend is the Granite Construction bid, as it's considerably less expensive. The city's done work with Granite in the past and has had good results. And Phil from Granite will be ready to start the overlay after the Memorial Day holiday. And approximately 6 weeks after that, once the asphalt had a chance to cure, the surfacing company will come in and put that color and lines and all of the stuff that makes it look like an actual tennis court back on top. Once the asphalt's been laid, we'll go in and put the chain link back up and barricade the two entrances so that nobody gets on and plays basketball or tries to get on there too early and ruin any of the work that's been completed. So we'll ensure that 6 weeks asphalt is safe and in good condition for the surfacing company to come in. And that's just about a day's work to finish, and then they'll be ready to go.
Questions, Council?
Yeah, I've got one. Now, granted, what you're doing with $36,000, and then what was the cost of the stuff that you're going to put on top of the asphalt, and what was the cost of it?
So the Central Washington recommended a company called Bayon Sports. Bayon Sports would be doing the surface over the top. Theirs came in at $17,118, and Midpack is who Granite suggested, and theirs came in at $13,379. So the difference in the asphalt work, if you are looking for that also, Central Washington came at $35,114 and Granite at $23,349.
So you add those two figures up and the school district's going to pay for half.
The school district is going to pay up to $20,000. Half up to $20,000. And the project is not to exceed $40,000.
What's that? So we only give it to them Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or what?
If the project came in as a total of $38,000, I don't think that they would want to pay the $20,000. I think they would want to pay half of the $38,000.
They don't have tennis courts, the school.
They do not have tennis courts right now.
Time out. That, in the committee meeting, that's not the way I understood it.
Yeah.
The way I understood it in the committee meeting was that the school district was going to put up $20,000, period.
That's the cost of them on their share of it, not to exceed the total dollar of $40,000.
Right, but you pretty much knew that
pretty
it wasn't going to go over that.
And that was to take up a little bit of what the city's going to have for concrete to put the poles back in, some other things that we got. It won't be over 40, but they
I told them time.
Not to exceed 40, they would throw 20 at it.
Then to clarify, the $36,729.16 doesn't include the concrete and putting the poles back up.
Well, the city employee time and
that's what that
right. This is just doing the surface.
That's right.
This is just we still got to buy nets. Mm-hmm. We still got to.
Our nets are already there. It's basically it's going to include some bolts that were pretty much. Rusted up that when we took them off they broke, and then some of the concrete to put the poles back. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. I don't think it's going to exceed much of anything past that $36,000, but I put not to exceed 40 in there and told the school district 20 for you, 20 for us, and we run with that.
So. Okay. Any further questions for Amy? Mm-hmm. I'd entertain a motion then.
I'll make a motion to accept the bid from Granite Construction for Kiwanis Park Tennis Court renovation in the amount of $36,729.16.
Second. Thank you, Eugene. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now we're going to move to item 4.4 is Residential Anti-Displacement and Relocation Assistance Plan or Policy. And Debbie, you have a report.
Thank you. The city will be applying for a CDBG grant for about $750,000. This will be for a new well and a new reservoir. We will have a public hearing on May 8th to hear more information about the grant, about the project, and provide time for citizen input on the proposed proposed project. There are many requirements when you apply for a CDBG grant. And one of them is that we have to adopt a residential anti-displacement and relocation assistance plan in order to fill the package that has to be applied, has to be submitted for the money. We never had one of these plans, so we actually use the exact language from CDBG that meets all of their requirements. And this is only to be used when there are state funds available. It isn't relocating for any other project, but only when there are state grants available to the city. We anticipate that we will not displace or need to relocate any citizens with the new well and reservoir project, but the intent is if we displace or relocate citizens and we've used state money that has prompted or created the need to do so, we must have this plan in place. This plan, I drafted the plan, it's been reviewed by the city administrator and the city attorney. It meets all the requirements for CDBG grants, and we recommend that the council approve the policy as presented. Are there any questions about the policy or the language?
No, we need it. We're moving forward in our plans, so I'd entertain a motion.
If nobody else has any questions, I'll make a motion to approve the residential anti-displacement and relocation assistance plan policy.
Thank you, Larry. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And we'll move to item 4.5, ordinance amending the OMC chapter 11.32, addresses and street names. Debbie?
Okay, the original ordinance provided that the city clerk would do all the addressing for new buildings. And this procedure has changed several times between the city clerk, back to the building department, to the city clerk, back to the building department. But we never changed the ordinance. We kept it the same. The building department has been addressing buildings since 2013, and that's Tricia Tolley, and with the assistance of Travis. So what we've done is we made changes to the ordinance relevant to who will be doing the addressing and changes on how it's actually being done internally in the city. This was reviewed by Travis and Tricia Tolley and the city attorney. Very basic changes, just going from one department to the other, making some changes on our procedures. So I do recommend that the council adopt the ordinance as presented. It's ONC Chapter 11.32, titled Addresses and Street Names.
Questions, council? No? Okay. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Debbie. We'll move to item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight?
The parking lot that we discussed last week. I'd like to see that get on our docket as soon as possible.
It's Mayor, I'm putting it on the docket for next week's thing. In fact, just an update. She was in to see me Friday. We talked about a few things, and I would rather put that on a workshop agenda so we can just have a sort of free flow discussion. And I told her we would do that. She would probably show up again there to talk about options.
Any other new or unfinished business?
New or unfinished, it doesn't matter. The project with the Red Barn, how much longer before we have it finished? I mean, can somebody go knock on the door and say, you know, let's get this done?
Terry, you want to give an update on what we've, that issues we've encountered with them?
Let's see. They got to, they're kind of all over the board. One day they want water, the next day they don't want water. They're not ready for it yet. So they're working on the Windsor side and poured the sidewalk in there. They've got to pour the entrance to their drive on that side as well. Then they're gonna come right around the front, and then they're gonna have to get a right-of-way permit, and they're gonna have to cut across the street and coordinate with not only the city for that sewer line, because they wanna put in two. They wanna put in one to feed the Red Barn and one to feed a new complex to the right, which is gonna be a four offices, I think, on the right side of of his existing building. In that trench has got to go underground electrical from Avista, so we want to incorporate it in the same trench by up a couple feet and over according to our standards so that we can bed it as well and make one pass across there. So he's over on this side and he's moving dirt. He's doesn't seem to be very, very fast at it, but that's the time frame I've got. I've been out there 3-4 times, so he just hasn't come in and got the right-of-way permit to make the cut, nor has he set up for the cut. He is a licensed and bonded contractor, but I'm not so certain.
Have they given the owner occupancy of the building?
Or that I can't tell you.
I mean, isn't there a condition of being so much completed?
If all that has to be done, he is not. See, I could check tomorrow to make sure, but not unless it's ready to be occupied without sewer and water.
That would be contrary to policy. They're not going to issue the certificate of occupancy until everything's finished.
They've got stuff in it.
Okay, well, they had a semi backed up to there the other day.
Oh, they did.
When he stopped in there, but they're using it. They're using it.
It's full.
Huh?
It's full of product.
Yeah.
So they're utilizing it.
Yeah, they've had product in and out.
But, you know, I mean, let's get it done. Come on, I mean, I'm driving by that thing every day wondering when they're going to finish it, and it's not being done.
Okay.
So if you can put some heat on them about the already assuming occupancy when they shouldn't have, if they don't have running water or toiletries.
Let me check on the rules that involve just putting stuff in there as opposed to people being in there. You know, he may be okay doing that, but not okay to do anything else, or he may not be. Let me just check and see.
Okay.
Any other finished or unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Hearing none. Item 7, council will receive the following 7.1 department head reports. Having no further business to come before the council, we'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:03 p.m.